Hello again, I'm Anna Bonikoski, and this is the Roundup for a Monday. Today, we're presenting the final episode in our series, Test Drive. All six episodes were written by award-winning playwright Dave Carley and star Gordon Pinsent as Earl Hughes. He's an American Motors car dealer whom we've been following for five decades. Today's episode is set in 2001. Earl is more than 80 years old, and his driving has deteriorated. After he's involved in a minor fender bender, he's forced to take a hard look at some of the things he's taken for granted. Here now is the final episode of our series, Test Drive, by Dave Carley.
My name is Earl, Earl Hughes. I used to sell cars, but right now, if I'm not mistaken, I'm dead. How else do you explain all the long faces? That's my daughter, Speedy, Eleanor, there, and Dan, her husband. And then spreading out in the pew beside them are their children. The really young ones are their kids' kids. Don't ask me their names. And over here, over to my side here, this one dressed like the Pope on LSD. Believe it or not, that's Franklin. Yeah, Franklin, my son, the pothead. Excuse me, former pothead. His life sure has taken a dramatic turn. And would you look out there filling the church? What a mob. I don't know what they always say, die young, pull a crowd. Except I'm 80. It's not exactly young. But that is most definitely a crowd. Okay. Franklin's motioning for Speedy to join us at the front, and up she labors, my dear little girl. Well, she's not so little anymore, is she? Speedy's been selling donuts for 15 years. She's shaped like an upended station wagon now. And she's not a girl anymore. She must be, I'll do the math. Speedy was born in the backseat of our Nash, 1946. 2001. 55. She's 55.
Now, to say a few words, is my sister Eleanor Hughes Burkholter. Most of you know her as Speedy.
Thank you, Reverend Frankie. Thank you, all of you, for coming. Daddy would have been tickled to see how many of you are here today. Of course, knowing Daddy would have used the opportunity to try and sell you a car. Sure, he's got a 55 Rambler or a 76 Pacer stashed away somewhere. Oh, I wish Daddy could be here to see the cortege we've arranged. This carries on a tradition begun with my grandfather, Harry Curran, who passed away in 1954, and my mother Dorothy, or Dodo Hughes, who died much too young in 1976. And I will remind you that after the interment at Mount Pleasant Cemetery, you're all invited back to our Tim Hortons on Eglinton East. It's on the original site of our family's car dealership. You can admire the vintage cars that'll be assembled there. I can't think of anything that would make my father more happy or proud than that. We can share some refreshments and swap stories about the wonderful man I call Daddy. And talk car talk. Oh, how to summarize a life, huh? Especially one that was as rich in friends and family and events.
Okay, I'm not going to listen to this part. First of all, because my life was actually resoundingly ordinary. And all this eulogy stuff, it kind of sticks in my throat. That's not my style. Still, when I look at Speedy and Franklin and my grandchildren and those little peckers who must be my great-grandchildren, I can't help feeling my head swell a little. I must have done something right. I just wish I could remember what that something was. And I wish I could remember how I got here.
In a minute, we're going to hear from our correspondent in Beechey, Saskatchewan, with their opinion on
okay.
Room and love and marriage in that province. But first...
Well,
you remember,
there's a mall and a gas station, except that.
Jello?
Is that it?
Lots of calls to
where do I live in hell am I?
Hey, And then there's Mr. Bob Perry of Buckhorn Falls, Ontario, who says you can actually nail Jell-O to a tree. And every February, Buckhorn's Jell-O on a Tree Festival draws thousands of tourists.
Oh, boy.
He just rear-ended me.
I saw everything.
I was stopping the lights. He ran right into me.
What happened?
This is just what I need today.
Oh, gosh. Now what?
Roll down your window.
My window?
Where the living hell did you learn how to drive, you idiot? You nearly killed me. How could you miss seeing me? I was stopped at the light for 30 seconds. Doesn't this old piece of junk have brakes? You stupid, stupid man.
Is he okay?
Of course he's okay. He's just too damn old to be on the road.
He might be in shock. He's not talking. Mister, are you all right?
Look what he did to my Lexus. With that piece of junk.
It's a 72 Ambassador Brougham.
What? Okay, see, he's talking. He's okay.
That's a good sign.
It's a 72 Ambassador Brougham. It retails for $38.65 in the four-door. The coupe is a bit more, V8. This car was my son's, see? Franklin. I have to warn you. It has been exposed to salt air. Franklin was surfing in Nova Scotia the whole time he owned it.
Oh, great. He's demented.
The old fool is demented.
Another bloody senior demented citizen roaming our streets.
Damn.
You stay right there, mister. Damn.
George, call the meeting, will you? I've been rear-ended on Eglinton.
Oh, I'm okay. I've got the bumpers whacked.
Yes.
Yes, I'll have to go to my chiropractor just in case.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, ma'am. Yes, I'll have the accident report filed, and yes, you can be on your way now.
Good. Now I've got a meeting to run.
Phew. She was a real piece of work.
I didn't see her. I honestly didn't. I was trying to find my lot. It used to be a long here. I don't understand.
Your lot?
My car lot. Curran AMC.
Sorry?
Dorothy Curran, AMC. Curran Nash. We sell cars. I can't find it. They've changed everything.
That's okay, sir. Listen, they're going to have to tow your car. The front end's taken a bang and two of your tires are flat. I'll give you a lift home. Where do you live? Where do you live, sir?
Gosh,
let's just see your ID again. Okay, 23 Muircrest Court. Is that your house?
Yes.
Okay, whereabouts is that?
Don Mills. It's in Don Mills.
Not far at all. Okay, sir, Mr. Hughes.
Yeah,
Mr. Hughes, sir, I'm going to drive you home. Is there someone there?
My car.
We're sending your car to the garage, do you understand?
Where's it going?
The garage. I'll get you the address. Sir?
I'd rather sit in the front. If I'm in the front, they think I'm selling you the car. Or maybe I was a witness to something. You know, if I sit in the back, my neighbors will think I've done something bad, and they'll tell my daughter.
Okay, I'll just have to clear some stuff off. And what could you be doing, sir, that was so bad?
You'd be surprised.
Wine, women, and song, eh?
I voted liberal once in 1968.
Some might not think that's a crime.
I was the conservative candidate. what is this? What make?
Ford.
How big is the engine?
I don't know.
How can you not know? Some police departments bought ambassadors, you know. They made great patrol cars. A lot of power under the hood. What are you driving when you're not out arresting old men?
A Nissan Pathfinder. Okay, front seat's ready.
How much did the Pathfinder put you back?
Daddy had been failing for the past few months. His death was sudden, but not unexpected. Still, you're never really ready for that void, are you? This morning I went to the basement door to call him for breakfast. I expected to hear his cheerful, "I'll be right up, Speedy. Keep your pants on." And then we'd have our coffee together and plan our day. But he was ready to go. Not so long ago, he told me he didn't want a lot of wailing and eulogies at his funeral. I think we can avoid the wailing, but I do want to say a few words. Sorry, Daddy. It's not the first time I've disobeyed you.
Okay, officer, here comes Franklin. Funny thing.
If it was 15 years ago and you were here, he might have thought I was turning him in for... he licked his pot, you know, but he's straighter than an arrow now.
Sorry, I got here as fast as I could. Speedy phoned me. She couldn't get away. What's happened, Constable?
Your father was in a minor accident.
Oh, Dad, are you okay?
I was just a fender bender.
His car had to be towed.
Actually, it's Franklin's old car.
But you're okay.
I hit a Lexus. Pretty good for an old guy, eh?
No one else was hurt?
No. Mostly just damage to the lady's daytimer, as far as I can tell.
Jeez, he was a real nasty one, Franklin. I did the world a favor giving her a bump.
Well, thank you for staying with him.
That's okay. Your father, he seemed a bit disoriented at first. I couldn't quite persuade him to go to emergency.
Should I take him?
I think he's okay.
Fellas, I'm in the room, too.
You might want to take him to his doctor. Just have a check.
I'm fine. Not a scratch. Totally corpus mentis. Even at 80, I got more working brain cells than Franklin.
Dad, let's keep it dignified.
Your dad's been trying to get me a deal on a pacer.
That'd be Earl Hughes, all right.
Should I book him on attempted bribery of an officer?
A pacer is hardly a bribe.
I'll head out now. Mr. Hughes, I have to keep your license.
What? Pardon?
I'm afraid it's the law, sir.
My driver's license?
Yes.
Well, you can't.
It's procedure.
Franklin, you can't do that.
Drivers over 80 have their licenses automatically suspended if they've been in an accident. You can get it back. It's just a suspension, but this is the law. Sir, I've written out the numbers for you to call to set up your appointment.
No, officer, don't leave. Franklin, get him to come back. If I can talk to him. Franklin, please. Run and get him.
But Franklin just sat there and let the cop go because, as it turned out, me losing my license was exactly what he and Speedy wanted.
Franklin and I have been talking about this, and we've made a decision.
The answer is no.
You don't even know what we've decided.
Give Speedy a chance, Dad.
Well, the two of you are sitting there like a jury. It's bringing in a hanging verdict, and I'm not having any part of this.
We've decided we don't want you driving anymore. Daddy, did you hear me? We don't think you should drive anymore. Not after the accident yesterday.
But that was one little fender bender.
It was a miracle, nothing worse.
It was one accident.
There are dings all over that car. It's not your first.
Well, those dings are from you when it was your car. Anyway, what about Dan? Your husband's had a million accidents. Take away his license.
We're not discussing Dan's failings. It's you we're concerned about.
It's not your decision.
Dad, please. Please be reasonable.
I am being reasonable. I want my license back. I want my car back. How will I get to work?
Dad, you're retired.
You about that? And how will I pick up Tammy at school?
Tammy graduated from UFT 3 years ago.
I know that. Frankie, Meals on Wheels, you're always saying your church doesn't have enough drivers. And golfing, okay, tell me. How do I get to the golf course? Do I just fly there?
You can take the bus.
No, I will not take a bus. I have to drive, Speedy. I have to drive.
Things change in life. I've been reading this old book of mine again. It's all about passages. There are stages in life.
This is not a stage.
Dad, you're not driving, period. End of discussion. Where are you going?
If I can't drive, I might as well die.
Dad, come back.
Dad? Are you okay?
Lordy. Can't I go to the bathroom without you bird-dogging me?
You've been in there a long time.
Oh, I'm an old man.
Sorry, Daddy. Hey, you haven't seen the phone book, have you? Have you got it in there?
Why on earth would I have a phone book in the washroom?
And I can't find the portable phone either.
Go away.
Are you sure you're okay?
Go away. Speedy, leave me alone.
I have to get back to work, but I'll be home for dinner.
Finding things in the Toronto phone book is the second most frustrating thing in the world. They put all the government services in one little section, somewhere in the middle, and they mix them up. So you can't tell what's provincial or federal or local. And then, when you do finally find a number that you think might just work, well, then the first most frustrating thing in the world kicks in.
You have reached the Ministry of Transport. Pour service en français, pressez numéro 1. For English, stay on the line.
Yes?
Welcome to the Ministry of Transport's automated voice answering service. To better serve you, we offer you the following options.
Here we go.
For service in slow English, press 1.
What on earth is slow English?
For license renewals, press 2.
What did you say? Speak slower.
For license exams, press 3.
What was that? That must be...
If you are a senior citizen and need to renew your license, press 4.
Bingo!
You have chosen option 4. If you would like your instructions in slow English, press 1.
And so it went, option after option, until I accidentally pressed a 0 by mistake. And to my utter surprise, got a real person. I was so shocked I nearly fell off the toilet. And this was a very polite phone person who spoke to me in normal speed English. A minute later, I had my driver's test appointment all lined up. I made it for midday so I could sneak out of the house without Speedy knowing. The subterfuge was necessary. There's a lot of prejudice against senior citizens, and the driver's license is younger society's first point of attack. First, they gave us a 90-minute group seminar with a video. Nothing too challenging there. I just made a point of agreeing with everything the nice lady said. And then I had my road test. They told me I had to have a G1 test first. That's city streets only. If I passed that, then I could try the highway one. But I don't much care for that. I don't like leaving Toronto. I'm a city boy. I suppose it's reassuring to think there's life north of the 401, but I certainly don't need to witness it firsthand.
Mr. Earl Hughes?
That's me.
Oh, Mr. Hughes. I'm Cody Chen. I'm going to give you your road test today, so my car's out here. Mr. Hughes?
Oh, don't forget to drive my car?
Well, no. Our examination cars have to have the special brakes. Your car is...
What about my car?
I understand it was towed to the garage after your accident.
You know about that.
Well, it's in your file.
Isn't that just like the government? They can't answer their own phones, but they got a file on me. But that's not your fault, mister. Can I call you by your first name?
Well, sure. It's Cody.
Cody. Of course. I'm Earl. Earl Hughes. Pleased to meet you. Now, what kind of car are we driving then today?
Well, it's Toyota, Earl. A Toyota Camry.
Okay. Isn't that excellent? My wife Dorothy always says the future of cars is Toyota, and here we are, getting tested in a Toyota. Oh, she'll be very pleased. I think that's a good omen. Smooth ride.
Yes.
What kind of suspension do these things have?
I don't know.
How much does this set you back?
Sir, the parking brake. Now, sir, Earl, we're just going to drive around a few residential streets first, try some parking. And then we'll go on some arterial roads. Eglinton, Victoria Park. Turn at the stop sign.
So how long have you been doing this, Cody?
5 years. Sir, turn.
Oh. I guess you must have to test some really bad drivers.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Oh, wait till you get my son-in-law. Dan. He's the worst driver in Toronto. We don't let him drive off the car lot, usually. Dan was raised a Mennonite, one of those strict ones. Grew up riding a buggy, so he's never got the hang of cars. I guess you don't have too many Mennonites in China.
I wouldn't know, Earl. I was born here.
Oh, of course.
East York General, actually.
Well, that's where my grandchildren were born. Where'd you go to school?
Don Mills Collegiate.
Is that right?
Earl, you see that spot up there? Let's try a parallel park.
Oh, sure thing, Cody. Don Mills Collegiate. Oh, well, isn't that a coincidence? Maybe you know my daughter, Tammy. My granddaughter. She's in her 20s. Nice girl. Smart as a whip. Loves to dance.
You're not matchmaking by any chance, are you?
She loves cars, and you're in the business, sort of.
Oh, let's try parking now. There's a spot there.
Okay. Here goes nothing. What was that?
It was the other car's bumper. You hit it.
Oh.
You hit it hard.
Oh, I did that on purpose. Sure. Shows I've nestled her in. Nice and snug. That's the way to park. Nice and snug. Don't be wasting space, I say. And those new bumpers, they can take a real whack. And they just bounce right back into shape. You see? Now what, Cody?
Well, I suppose we could try Eglinton Avenue.
Sure. Which way is that?
You don't know where Eglinton is?
Well, of course I know. I worked on Eglinton for nearly 50 years. Current AMC.
What's AMC?
American Motors. Ramblers. Jeeps.
Oh, Jeeps. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, this is it.
This is Eglinton?
Turn right. Actually, I wouldn't mind a coffee, so we'll try a restaurant drive-thru.
Oh, okay.
There's a Tim Hortons a few blocks up. We'll go in there.
Oh, Tim Hortons?
Sure.
Are you sure? There's lots of other drive-thrus.
No, I like the coffee there the best. And the lane's fairly narrow. It'll be a good test.
This was suddenly too close to home for comfort, but I wasn't in a position to argue. Cody was holding all the cards. I know he hadn't been impressed with that little nudge when I was parking. So if he wanted a coffee at the Tim Hortons drive-thru, that's what he was going to get. I just prayed that Speedy wouldn't be working the drive-thru. But did I ever tell you about my bad luck?
Welcome to Tim Hortons. What can I get you?
Oh, damn.
What?
Pardon?
I lost my voice.
Hello? May I take your order?
Cody, you order.
One large double cream.
Anything else?
No, that's all.
Drive up, please.
Oh, please don't be Speedy at the window. Please don't be Speedy.
Earl?
Okay, here you are. One large double cream. Hey!
Hi, Speedy.
What are you doing in that car? What are you doing in a Toyota? What are you up to? Young man, who are you?
I'll see you at dinner. Here's a toonie. Bye.
Who was that?
Oh, just an acquaintance. Never mind.
Okay, Earl, just pull over. There's a space there. Good. I think I'll take it from here.
What do you mean?
I'll drive back to the office.
It didn't take a rocket scientist to know what was coming. Cody drove us back and disappeared for a few minutes. Then he called me into his office.
Earl, I think you'll agree with me. That was not an entirely successful afternoon. I mean, there was a problem with the parking, your turns all went wide, and I don't know what that all was at Tim Hortons. Most importantly, you're too easily distracted. I mean, if you have a passenger, you just seem to keep talking.
Oh, that's my training from when I used to go out with customers to test drive new cars.
But I also have a hunch you could distract yourself. I'm sorry. I have to fail you.
I can't have my license back?
I'm sorry, no. But you can retest in a year. You have to take the seminar again and then the in-car test.
I can't drive?
No. But like I said, you can take the course again, and then there are driving lessons you can sign up for, and then it's a simple matter of retesting. Some drivers get their licenses restored this way. I'm sorry, Mr. Earl. I know this must be difficult for you. I'm truly sorry. Now, can I call you a taxi? Sir?
No. That's okay. Son?
Yes?
Was I really that bad? Tell me the truth.
I couldn't pass you.
Was I dangerous to people? Could I hurt someone?
Eventually, perhaps.
Then you did the right thing. Afternoon. I don't know how much a fare is. That's $3. Can you give me a yell when you get to Muir Crest?
Sure thing, Pops.
Thank you, Miss. What's your name?
My name? Brenda.
Brenda. I'm Earl. Earl Hughes. Not Pops.
Earl, you should take a seat. I've got to pull out.
Someone told me once there were no happy endings. Brenda, I'm a case in point.
That's so.
I sold cars for nearly half a century. I ate, slept, and breathed them. My year began every September with the arrival of the new models. My pulse started racing the second a customer showed up. For me, moving the car off my lot and into the hands of a buyer was, to use an old expression of Franklin's, it was a rush.
Who's Franklin?
And now, I can't even get behind a wheel. Ever again. I know Cody said I could come back in a year and retest, but the lad was just saying that to give me some hope. Anyway, when you're his age, a year is nothing. For me, well, who knows where I'll be in a year? Pushing up daisies in Mount Pleasant.
Hey, you dropped your paper there.
So I think this is about it. I'm no use now. A car man who can't drive, there's no honor in that. Hell, I'm just a burden. And that's one thing I swore I'd never be.
Earl, quit feeling sorry for yourself.
Dodo?
You're being pathetic. I'm ashamed of you. Never thought I'd hear you talk like that.
But I can't drive.
Well, then you take the bus. But you don't give up.
You don't understand, Dodo. I want to give up. It's time.
You gave up.
I was ill.
Oh, it's my turn now. It's my choice, too. I want to be with you. It's time. I can't drive, Dodo. You must understand.
Yes. Of course I understand.
Mirrorcrest! Mirrorcrest! Hey, Pops! Earl! Mirrorcrest! Mirrorcrest, mister. Oh, God. Oh, my God.
So, that was Dad's life. If you asked him, he'd tell you it was all pretty ordinary. And he'd probably tell me to stop going on about him and go out and sell something. Unfortunately, I don't sell cars. But my dad did. And I think it is the best of all occupations. And he, in turn, was its noblest practitioner. Daddy, more than anyone else, understood how much those piles of steel and glass on wheels define us. I will ask you all to come now and join us in his cortege. The cortege to end all corteges, as arranged by his old customers and the collectors' clubs in Toronto. Ramblers, Nashes, Metropolitans, Javelins, Jeeps. This is a convoy that will memorialize Daddy better than all the words Franklin and I could ever think to say. So please, let's carry Dad out. Let's go to our cars. It's time to take Earl Hughes home.
Dave Carley, the final episode in our six-part series. In the cast, Gordon Pinsent was Earl, Deanne DeGruyter was Dorothy, Catherine Fitch was Speedy, Michael Waller was Franklin, Richard Lee was Cody Chen. Louise Gauthier plays the Lexus woman and the voicemail woman. Wayne Ward was the cop, and Diane Leckie was the bystander. The associate producer was Colleen Woods, the recording engineer was Wayne Richards. Sound effects by Matt Wilcott. Test Drive was produced and directed in Toronto by Linda Grierson. And the executive producer was James Roy. Tomorrow on the Roundup, Kevin Sylvester takes over the hosting chair for a few weeks and will be featuring a concert from Winnipeg with Ukrainian singer-songwriter Alexis Kohan. I'm Anna Bonikoski. Stay tuned now for the CBC News.